Welcome to the ICANN podcast, the podcast of the Indiana Catholic Conference. The Indiana Catholic Conference is the official public policy voice of the Catholic bishops of Indiana. Welcome back to the ICANN podcast. This is Alexander.
And Angela.
And it's another week at the Indiana General Assembly. And this week is crossover. And if you've listened in the past, you know what that is. But for folks who are maybe tuning in for the first time, Angela, can you explain what crossover is?
Crossover is, you know, bills start on either side of the chamber. Bills that start in the Senate side have gone through their course or either died. And if they've made it through their readings and are still what we call alive and not dead, then they cross over to the House to be considered. And the process starts all over again. And likewise, if a bill started in the House and made it through its committee meetings and passed out in its readings, then it crosses over to the Senate to begin all over again.
So the deadlines for that final reading, third reading, and final passage of bills in one chamber was Monday and Tuesday of this week. And so we have a little break of a few days before things really start going again. And next week will be the next round of committee hearings and movement on bills. All right. So what we're going to focus on for the rest of this podcast is protecting kids online. And we've seen a number of bills. There were at least three filed in the House, I believe two or three filed in the Senate. That all have to do with this, so all relatively similar.
Which is interesting because they are limited. This session,
five. Yeah,
they were, each lawmaker was limited to five, and there are a lot of issues out there that need to be attended to. And so, if you know that your colleague is filing a similar bill, why use your one of five to do the same thing? And now some people could say, well, that makes sure that at least one of them get through, but maybe they're just not talking to each other or they're not reading each other's bills like we're reading them.
From what I heard in talking with legislators about this issue is that is generally the case. And
which?
Like they don't actually know that some of their colleagues are authoring it. And I could imagine, especially on the House side, you've got 100 people. And over the summer, you don't have... I guess they don't have a list of all of the bills that are potentially being filed amongst, say, the caucus, and that they share that with everybody. Maybe there's some version of
that. Right, but they have a caucus, so you would think they would say this is going to be important.
Right.
It seems like there could be better communication, and then that would leave room for more bills to help more people.
Yeah.
In different ways. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, it's a good thought. Well, to the point of the bill would... in essence, would require adult-oriented content websites, basically a pornography website, to have a robust age verification system. The intent would be to prevent minors from accessing the content. And we know very clearly that the quote-unquote age verification that currently exists on any of these sites is not robust whatsoever.
It just asks you, are you above 18 or older? And of course, if you want to have access and you're 13, you're going to say, yeah, I'm 18.
Yeah. And this has been tried in a number of other states. How many states have...
Eight states currently and 10 states have laws going through the process like us or including us. To stop this. One of the things that we know in the eight states where this has become law, the porn sites have shut down access in those states. So think about that. What does that say about the porn sites? To me, it says, well, if we can't have access to children, we're going to take our ball and we're going to go home. They say, well, we care about children, but this is costly on our end to try to do this. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I think they're mad that they don't have access to children.
Yeah.
Let them be mad. Let's keep those laws coming to protect the children.
And I think in some of our conversations about this, it's clear how early exposure to pornography sets someone up for later dependence on it or a lifetime of struggling with viewing pornography. And so this
or making them susceptible to inappropriate behavior from someone that they may trust.
Yeah.
Because that's been kind of a offline grooming of them to have access to, you know, mature subject matter before they can really process it or should have access to it.
Yeah. So I want to hit that point more in just a little bit. But before we get too far, I don't think we've mentioned the bill number. It's Senate Bill 17, authored by Senator Mike Bohacek. And there are many people who are supportive of it. It was almost unanimously passed out of the Senate. And so now at the halfway point here, it's going over to the House. And so I think we're expecting there's going to be a lot of support in the House. But we...
there are some people that are saying that it is an issue about free speech. It is not. Minors have to... places that, you know, serve things that are not healthy for minors, such as alcohol and tobacco, they have to verify someone's age. This is the same thing. Yeah. It has nothing to do with free speech. So yeah. Do not be fooled by those arguments.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is definitely a long time in coming where people who want to protect kids online from these harms have kind of not been able to do, at least not felt like they've been able to do much about it in the last several decades, while we've begun to know how much of a problem it is. So it's heartening to see this, the efforts across the country, multiple states all trying this at once, and it being a really bipartisan thing that we can all generally agree on, that kids seeing pornography is not a good thing.
Exactly.
And the church, of course, would say adults for that matter as well fall into that category. So while we're talking about the national efforts, I want to just let everybody know that there's also a federal effort to address this, similar legislation at the federal level. And in 2023, in June, so this goes back a little bit, the USCCB wrote a letter to Congress and sharing some basic priorities for protecting kids online. And so they talk about this, but they also, they link the broad umbrella of protecting kids online with the issue of human trafficking. And so I want to go back to that. We started talking about that. Maybe you could say a little bit more about how does human trafficking relate to all of this?
Well, here in Indianapolis at the Catholic Center, we have someone who has been working to educate people about the connection. We know that grooming can occur in a variety of different ways. It can start with an individual, often a trusted individual, starting out slowly, saying or doing things that are inappropriate. We also know, and I used in my earlier life, I was a prosecutor in Marion County in sex crimes, and so prosecuted cases where children had been victimized, and especially in situations where it was a trusted individual. One of the devices that they used was exposing them to drugs, alcohol, and pornography. And, you know, making them feel like they were mature beyond their age. Mm-hmm. And so this was appropriate. And so it can be a grooming tool, and it can also make them desensitized. And so there's no good that can be connected with children having access to pornography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for providing that perspective, especially your past experience prosecuting. one other bill I'll mention that was introduced in the state legislature. Let me see what bill. Senate Bill 201. This was authored by Senator Deary, and this was heard in committee. And it was the title was minor use of mobile devices in social media. And so this bill was heard in committee, but all the legislators were saying we just need to work on this more. like, we want to do it. It's some good ideas, but it needs to be flushed out. And I think this is a newer concept even than the age verification. And so what Senator Deary is trying to get at is there's a social media component, and then there's a device, there's like a filtering component. So the social media component would put, it would allow parents to have more oversight, perhaps, with approving their children's usage of social media. Like if they sign up for an account, the parent would have to explicitly approve that somehow. So that's one element. And I think just the working out the mechanics, like how do you actually require something like that in state law, can be difficult, but perhaps it can be done.
Yeah,
to help parents at least somewhat. You know, none of this is a silver bullet.
Yeah, it's hard because, flashback to on Capitol Hill when they had the social media executives and talked about, bullying online and, children who had committed suicide. I mean, a parent could approve someone being on an account like Facebook, and they have a Facebook friend group and they're all the same age. But if you've got some bullies in there that say, the world would be better off with you dead. I mean, unless the parent is checking, like I did when my child was a minor, I would go on her Facebook page regularly. Then it would be difficult to know that, this thing that you approved in this group of other minors was, dangerous to your child's fragile mental state.
Yeah.
And so we've got a long way to go.
Yeah, I agree. So definitely some challenges, but hopefully these policies continue to be worked out. The one other element of this bill is that device filtering idea. And so I think there's an interesting flip that this requires. It puts more of the burden on the device manufacturer as opposed to the parent to figure out how do I filter out stuff that I don't want my kids to see, and the financial burden that parents often do to purchase filters and to try to navigate that system. And I think it puts a little bit more on the device manufacturer to have basically something pre-installed that you'd have to opt. You'd have to opt into allowing your child to see stuff that you don't want them to see.
Although there is another bill this session that limits the use of devices in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they can't use it in school, then I can see them running home and wanting. And so that, I think parents may think, oh, this is good. They're going to be attentive at school. Because, they can't have access, or some parents may be upset. I bought it for them and it might help them, look up something while the teacher's talking. I'm sure people can differ on that. But I would caution parents not to be lulled into a false sense of security that, oh, they can't access it at school and maybe that will, lessen their appetite for it. For some teens or tweens, I think if they can't have access during school, then they may want to run home quickly and jump on their devices.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty clear that, like I said earlier, none of this is a silver bullet, and it's maybe some little ways state policy or any sort of law can help give parents more tools, can help address some of the harms that our kids and adults are exposed to. Well, thank you all for tuning in this week. And if you're interested in responding to our action alert on this or going to the USCCB website and responding to their action alert, you can do that with all the links we provide in our weekly emails.
And if this issue has touched you, when it's on the other side and if it's open for testimony, if you'd like to testify or send a written statement to us, if it's inconvenient for you to come, say, from Evansville or South Bend, get in touch with us.
Yeah, you can email us, icc@archindy.org. Thank you all so much. We'll see you next week. God bless.
God bless.